You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business automation, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers. And in this episode, I want to talk about simplifying your automations, okay? And really not just your automations, but your approach to automating your client's business, even if you are your client, and all of the processes and technology and tools involved. All right. With automation being so open-ended and filled with endless possibilities, right? It's easy to overcomplicate your way right out of success. So I want to prevent you from doing that in today's episode. But before we get started, hey, listen, if this is your first time listening to the All Systems Go podcast, first, let me say welcome. Okay, let me say welcome. Do me a favor, listen to this episode in its entirety. And right at the end, there's going to be an opportunity for you to leave a 5-star rating and review. Okay, for those of you who are listeners, avid listeners, continual value recipients of this podcast, do me a favor. Do not let another day go on without leaving a 5-star rating and review. First off, it's an easy way to tell me thank you. You know, just acknowledging, you know, and giving me some confirmation that what I'm doing, the work that I'm putting into this, is truly helping and changing your approach. And for some of you, helping your business grow, you know, just by listening. So a 5-star rating and review lets me know that. Okay. And it also lets Apple know that, listen, this is a podcast worth featuring. So more people can find it, more people can listen, and more people can do automation in their business the right way. So we're in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe on YouTube. So whatever your mode of consumption is, you can find the All Systems Go podcast there. All right. So all of your 5-star ratings and reviews are greatly appreciated for those who have left one and those who will leave one. All right. So let's jump into the topic at hand. This is a good one because it's a theme I see often, and it's overcomplicating. And perhaps the easiest thing to do is to overcomplicate things. And this is so challenging. I just have to let you all know this podcast is challenging for me because I have to stay focused on marketing automation when I'm speaking of these things. But as I say it, I see it apply to so many other areas of my life, right? Am I the only one that overcomplicates other areas in your life outside of automation? So that's the challenge, because as I'm saying it, I'm also thinking like, man, this applies to over here too. Yeah, I overcomplicated that conversation, or I overcomplicated that entire situation, you know. So the goal for this is to stay locked in to what this means for marketing automation alone. Okay. And, you know, when you overcomplicate it, it's often the result of not knowing where to focus and what to focus on to produce the exact result that you desire. Okay, so that means that what happens is we tend to default to quantity over quality, right? You start looking at the size of your list, thinking that's where the money is, instead of understanding that only 20% of the people on that big old list are quality leads, right? You can start lying to yourself. And I've always been fascinated with folks who can explain things like really powerfully with a small amount of words. It's often reserved for like the old wise folk that you know, you come across and they say 3 words to you and you're just like, wow, that was so profound. Right. That's always fascinated me. And then on the other hand, I've always been frustrated with the people who take 10 minutes to say what they could have said in one, sometimes 1 minute, sometimes 30 seconds. Right. It's just like, oh, my gosh, get to the point. I get it. Yes. Go. I'm following you. Yes. Get. Where's the punchline? Right. And that's when I learned to speak concisely. You have to have a level of clarity and understanding above the norm. So that there are less words required to provide a full understanding. And the better you are at that, the more expert you're going to be perceived as. Right? But speaking concisely, you have to know exactly the point that you're trying to drive home and the right words to do so. Okay. So you take that coupled with a minimalistic nature. Like for me, I'm always looking for ways to do things better with less effort and a lot of the times less resources, or getting more out of the resources that I am using. So with this minimalistic nature and then this understanding of being concise in your communication, right? I say, okay, how do you apply that? Because these are the dynamics. What does it have to do with automation? Right. Well, I'll say this. Automations are far too often, the most overcomplicated portion in your business. And I'm saying this from the position of a recovering, overcomplicated builder. Right. I have my hand up. I still overcomplicate things. The difference with me now and then is I'm at least aware that I'm overcomplicating it. Okay, but what is an overcomplicated automation? Again, I don't want to leave room for interpretation, and I don't want you to start veering off into thinking about all these other areas of your business that you've overcomplicated. That's good. That's for another time. But for right now, I want to hone in on marketing automation. Okay, and what I found is I've got a few criteria that I'll give you that I look at something as overcomplicated. Of course, as always, everybody, you all know the routine. All right. I'm giving you the first things that come to mind. It is not an exhaustive list. You're going to listen and be like, hey, Chris, but what about this? You forgot about that. You're absolutely right. I did forget about that. And it is applicable. But at least by me starting with these considerations, it'll get your mind going. And you'll start throwing in your own considerations like, oh, yeah, and don't forget about that. That's how this works. Right. Again, there's endless possibilities of automation. So how would I be able to speak to each one in one episode? Not just one episode, just period. They're always growing and morphing and, you know, what was unknown today is known tomorrow. And what's known tomorrow is forgotten the next day. Like it's an ongoing living entity, right? But these are some pointers for those of you who are like, how do I keep getting myself here? Or some of you may not even realize that you're taking the most complicated approach to something that could be simplified. All right, so let's talk through some of these criteria. First is you've built the automation without it being mapped out first. That is the fastest path to overcomplicate something, is to jump straight into the tool and start building. I can guarantee you you've overcomplicated it. Okay. You overcomplicated, or you just built something that doesn't work. Right. Or another sign that you've overcomplicated your automation is it's hard to follow days after you built it, and sometimes hours. Okay. Like you get in there and you're like, what was I doing again? Right. Like you can't make sense of it. And even when you understand what you are doing, you still are like, but why would I do it that way? Right. You've overcomplicated. Let me take you off the hook for a little bit. What happens is in order to work through this overcomplicating process, it's a twofold approach. One is you need somebody to help. Right. You can't do it yourself. You need other minds and eyes to look at yours. You need to be looking at other people's automations to understand multiple ways to simplify things. So that has to be done. But you also need to be revisiting your stuff. Right. Which goes against the set it and forget it. There's a time you will be able to forget it. But oftentimes set it and forget it do not happen at the same time. They better not. It's like set it, then some time, then forget it. Right. And in that time, you're watching it. You're checking in, making sure it's working. We've talked about this in previous episodes. Right. It's not set it and forget it in one setting. It's set it sometime, some optimization, some observing, then forget it. All right. And then another key sign or indicator that you've overcomplicated your automation is when the size of the result that your automation produces is smaller than the automation itself. So said differently, the automation is bigger than what it's producing. So you've got this big canvas and all of these if else's and tags and conditions going, and it's doing this little itty bitty thing, right? You've probably overcomplicated it. I like to see it go the other way, right? Small automations producing big results. So now you start to see, oh, that's why you were talking about the older wisdom, the people who can, that old man that can say three words and it just be so profound. I see the correlation now, Chris. Yes. Small. You got an automation with 2 to 3 steps, but it does all of this. You know, those are some of the best automations. And let me parenthetically insert, let me put my asterisk by that and say, yes, there is a time for big automations that produce little results at times. Yes, those are the outliers. Those are the special cases. Those are advanced tactics. I'm talking about considerations for the majority. These are where I see most people slip up all of the time. Okay, so when your automation is bigger than what it's producing, that's a sign you've probably overcomplicated it. And I need to give these to you all because, again, there may be people listening that don't realize that they're overcomplicating it right now. Their overcomplication, they think it's simplified. They think it's this is what it's supposed to look like. Or some people find value in overcomplicated. They like to confuse their clients and their clients to look at it and not know what it's doing and give them a badge of honor. Like, wow, they really know what they're doing because I don't have any clue what that means. They're so smart. No, they're not smart. They're doing you wrong, probably. OK, another key indicator is you have to zoom in and zoom out a lot to follow along with what you built. Right. This means you put so much on the canvas. And here's the thing. These automation platforms will allow you to build however you choose. They are not going to limit you and say, hey, you've got too many actions on this canvas. So when it gets to the point where you log in and you got to zoom in one area, then zoom out, then scroll over, zoom into another area, then zoom out, you've probably overcomplicated it. OK. Again, there's some edge cases here with platforms that actually want you to build on one canvas, you know, and in some platforms you have to. But even at that, there's still ways to simplify things. There's still ways to break it up visually, you know, whether it's using notes on the canvas. For instance, I'll talk about Infusionsoft. It's not uncommon for you to have in one campaign like the whole process. But what you'll see with more seasoned consultants, they know how to break it up with using notes. A lot of people didn't realize you can use HTML in the notes in Infusionsoft's campaign builder. So you could bold things, bullet point things, hyperlink things. So even though it's on one canvas, you've got notes that kind of break it up and it's easy to follow. So some of the best consultants, once you imported their campaigns, it came with like very detailed descriptions right on the canvas of what to do, right? So that's one platform, but other platforms, like if you're an active campaign or something and you just have everything on one canvas and you've got to zoom in and zoom out, I'm pretty sure you've overcomplicated it and it's not working, right? Which is the last indicator, is it's simply not working. And not just that it's not working, but it's hard for you to figure out why it's not working. So if you always find yourself filling out a support ticket, talking to support, trying to, hey, why isn't this working? Posting in Facebook groups, why isn't this working? There's probably two things going on. One is you don't know what you're doing, you know, in terms of you just haven't figured out how that tool works yet, or you may just not know what you're doing with building automations and you're learning. And two is you've overcomplicated it. And when I say overcomplicate, it doesn't mean that it's a big automation all the time. Sometimes you're just doing too much. You got 4 start triggers. What are you doing? 4 start triggers to send one email? What's really going on here? what actions can people take that you really need to have 4 star triggers for to send one email? So when I say overcomplicated, I am not talking about the size of the automation, although size is an indicator a lot of times, right? I'm just talking about the ability to follow. What in the world are you doing? What are you trying to execute here? When I was at when I was the director of education at Active Campaign, of course, one of my favorite teams was the migration team. You know, I've said this before, but I can't tell you how many times I've spent, you know, there. And actually, it didn't even start there. I can't even say that because it was before. It started at Lead Pages, actually. I can't tell you the amount of times we would look at a landing page and, you know, turn our heads and be like, I wonder what they were trying to do, right? Like what did they really think putting a neon pink background was going to help? Like you're literally trying to figure out what was your thought process here, you know? So again, we are professional overcomplicators when we are not clear on exactly what's required to produce the given result. Okay, or the desired results. So what I just mentioned, those are like the top telltale signs that you've overcomplicated the process. And for some of you, these are just like the beginning, right? You didn't map it out. It's hard to follow right after you've built it, right? It's a big automation that's producing something really, really small. You got to zoom out, scroll through, zoom back in, zoom out. Like it's an effort to follow along, and then it just simply isn't working. But it looks good, right? A lot of people can build something out and they'll be like, look at this. It looks like a spider web. And again, the untrained eye, they're like, wow, that is so cool. Right. But it's not working, and it's hard to figure out. So again, if you find yourself submitting support tickets all the time, asking, hey, why isn't this working? You probably don't know what you're doing. But if you're a habitual support sender of, can you help me figure out what's going on with my automations? You're probably the one who should not be building your automations. And that's perfectly fine. I would rather you tap out and say, you know what? I know I'm not the right person to do this, and go find somebody to do it, than you proudly do it yourself. You're wasting time and effort. That's literally why Automation Bridge exists. One of the core reasons why we exist, so that we can keep CEOs in the seat of CEO. Right. Some stuff you just shouldn't touch. All right. So for me, I'm always aware and, you know, I'm on record for saying your first time is your worst time. We've talked about this before. All my podcast listeners know what I'm talking about. Right. So I'm aware that the first version is always the most complex version. I already know this going in. So I know that the first time I sit down, even after I mapped it out, everybody, I reserve the right to say the first version of me mapping it out is the worst version. It's going to be the most complex. That's just who I am. I'm an engineer. I think of all these possibilities. When I first do something, it is the hardest, most complex version of it all. But I give myself permission to go through it, get it out, and work through the complexity to reach simplicity. Okay? So that's my process. I've got to go through the complex to get to the simple. That's me. Maybe you can start at simple, and your problem or your challenge is going complex. You're like, look, I got the basics. You know, basic is my middle name. It's the advanced stuff that I don't get. Right? So you may be flipped. And I would just want to be transparent with you all that, yes, my maps, I can show you right now hundreds of automations I've mapped out on my whiteboard or on printer paper that I just keep having to rework. And we simplify, Chris, simplify. It's too hard. No, because I'm always thinking, can somebody else easily follow this? Right. I talked about if only you can do it, then you shouldn't be doing it that way. You have to be building. When it comes to building, you have to be thinking about the future builder, because you're not always going to be building your automations or the automations. That's the law of growth, right? The law of growth lets us know we won't be in the same place to tomorrow that we are today. And your tomorrow may be a year, two, 3 years from now, right? So I'm also, when it comes to complexity, I'm always thinking about how easy this is to follow and train somebody else on, which I'm just realizing is another key indicator you've overcomplicated it, is that it's hard to train somebody on what's happening, which falls into, you know, you've got to zoom in and zoom out. It's hard to follow, you know, things of that nature. Right. But I'm just telling you what I'm thinking, the filters that it runs through in my mind. Right. Because it's a hard journey for some because of all the possibilities, so many if else branches that we can build, so many tags that we can add, so many things that we can create. But I have to tell you, if everything is possible, then nothing is buildable. At some point, you have to decide what's the most important to focus on now and let the other considerations and possibilities prove themselves worthy of your time and automation efforts later. Okay? But you can't do everything. Is this a true statement? There's a million things I can do with automation. Yes. But this is a true statement too. You can't do those million things. So you need to pick out what you can. Focus in and get the result. And I say this because I oftentimes see people speaking about all of the paths and outcomes. And these are usually CEOs, like, look, it could do this. And, you know, I can see it in their head. They think it's so complex. And they think you need something in place for every single decision. And it's got to be this, this, and that. And they convince themselves it has to be complex to satisfy the need, when it doesn't. It does not need to be complex. It just needs to be somebody building it that knows what they're doing, not you. And for my marketing professionals, don't ever let a CEO diagnose or dictate the complexity of something. Right? I don't go and tell a doctor how hard the surgery would be. Right? The level of effort required for, you know, whatever the process is. How can you tell me how difficult it is when you don't even know what it takes to do it? So, yes, it's difficult to you because you don't know what you're doing. Yes, it's complex to you because you don't know what you're doing. But as an automation service provider, we make simple out of complex because we work through it and we provide the simplified solution, because it's only complex because you don't know how to simplify it or to build it. To build what is complex in a simplified way. That's really what we're talking about. So I do. I listen. I lend the ear. I'll let the CEO talk. Well, it's got to do this and this. And then we needed to do this and this. You see what I'm saying? It's just so much. And I'm thinking to myself, no, not really. Not really at all, actually. You're just all over the place. And so is your data. So, yes, I can see how you're confused. Right? So what I'm going to do is I want to give you all two of my guiding principles that keep me from overcomplicating things. These have served me well, continue to serve me. And it's what I operate by. All right. And so the first one is the rule of three or less. OK. And this means, and remember, everybody, I'm talking specifically to marketing automation. Okay. If you've gone off, if I've said something and you're on a tangent somewhere else in your life, come on, come back in. We're almost done. Just stay focused with me here. Okay. And this means that I'm thinking of possibilities. And this is in the beginning where I'm talking about the rule of three, right? Because oftentimes the overcomplication happens in the beginning. So when I'm thinking about all the possibilities, I only allow three or less outcomes to be focused on. Yes. I acknowledge there are more and I'll probably need more, right? But I limit myself to three or less in the beginning. So what does that look like? If we think about naming conventions, right? With tags, I'll start with tags, right? You could argue maybe there's 10, maybe there's 20 categories for your tags, right? But let's start with three. If you've never categorized your tags, start with three, like behavior, status, and product, right? Behavior is the category for everything that somebody can do. Status is, you know, once they do that, what does it change or what status does it put them in, right? And then product can be the name of the product that they purchased or whatnot. Start with those three. Right? Keep it simple. Same for labels, custom field groupings, etc. Right? Naming conventions. So the rule of three applies to naming conventions. What about dynamic pathing via automation if else's? Right? You've got an automation and you want to create paths for multiple segments. Again, start with no more than three. Okay? So that you don't have this ever-growing if else waterfall that's hard to follow. And again, now we're back to zooming in and zooming out to figure out what's going on. Right? Start with three. Challenge yourself to limit it to three. I get it. You've got more than three audiences, more than three segments, but limit it to the most important three first. Okay. Same with product creation. Some of you don't need the 5, 6, 7, 8 products that you have. There's three that are just really killing the game. Why are you not focusing on those three? Lead magnets. Are you serious? You got more than three lead magnets. Are you making less? Are you making over $1 million? Right? Like, if you're not getting the most out of one lead magnet, two, why do you have 3, 4, and 5? And this really becomes a issue of focus or lack thereof, right? You're just creating. We talked about it in a previous episode when I talked about the creator's curse. You know, people tend, especially now that creating is so easy, people tend to default to creation when they're not clear on what they really should be focusing on and don't have the discipline to do so. So instead of getting the most out of that one lead magnet, you know, really fine tuning my messaging and marketing and perhaps optimizing that, I'll just go create another one. Instead of fine tuning that one follow up sequence, I'll just go write some more emails. More is better. More chances for people to take action. More, more, more. No, that just means more confusion. Okay, we have to be focused in our efforts in marketing, specifically automation, because you can find yourself automating way too much and overcomplicating it, right? The rule really challenges you to focus on the meat and ignore the fat. Trim that fat and just focus on the meat, right? It's hard though, because what you'll be feeling is that you're missing out, right? You're like, there's a hole somewhere. You know, like somebody's going to, you're missing a huge segment of the market, right? Or it's not good enough. You know, like what you're building, this is not good enough because there's like a million other people that can't do this. And, you know, if I just say three, Chris, what about the other 10? I get it. Do you seriously think I don't get it? I've, out of all the companies that I've worked for and all that I've seen, do you really think that I don't get it? So clearly, if I'm telling you this, it's because you're not seeing it in the light that it needs to be seen in. I'm just trying to shine. I've got more lumens than you. Okay. So my light shines a little brighter and allows you to see more detail. That's all. Right. So for those who are feeling like, oh, if I do it that way, that's too simple. I'm missing out. It's got to be more complex. Well, here's my second guiding principle that helps me deal with that is, and that is growing to necessity. And I learned this working with various marketing tech startups and paying attention to the product development cycle, right? It would be very easy for them to go into the user boards and listen to all the feedback and just build out all these cool features. But the great software platforms are selective of which features they launch. And they add additional functionality as needed. They purposely ignore a lot of our requests, and it bothers us at times because our product development schedule is different than what they're saying, you know, but it's relative to our needs and our wants. And we think that it's valid because people agree with us and they've upvoted our stuff. Right. And there is a case for that to be true. Sometimes when I look at Infusionsoft turned a blind eye to what their users have been requesting for years. And they're just now starting to get back to it. But they paid a cost. They paid a price for that. You know, so you can't totally ignore the market. Use your feedback to help. But you don't let it dictate how you operate, but you allow it to help dictate your direction, right? Not all the time, but a lot of the time. Is growing to necessity. Let's give them this. And depending on how they use it or depending on how it works, we'll add more to it. What does that look like in automation? Let's build this simple path. And if we find that this is not enough, we need more emails, we need more tags, we need more if else, so be it. But let's start with this simple path first. Because remember, you build your first version as the simplified version and then let it prove that it needs more. And when you do that, you'll realize two things. One is just how much simple works. One, and two is the more that you need is probably still less than what you planned on. Right? Like you started simple and realized you needed to do more, but the more that was required, maybe it was just another email instead of an entire if else case in two separate paths with four emails each. I'm telling you, it is super easy to overcomplicate it, especially when we're shopping on the shelves of the virtual internet marketer strategies, the strategy shelves of the internet marketer, the virtual strategy shelves of the internet marketer. And you're like, I need this email sequence. And then I need, look at all these tags. Let me get a pack of 20 tags. And then let me get this bundle of custom fields. And let me get one more email sequence and then five landing pages. Okay, what's the cost here? Right? That's what people do. They prescribe these things for themselves in these virtual shelves of these pre-packaged solutions. And sometimes you just need to sit back and say, what's worked in the past? Oh, so since this worked, let me just do that in an automation. I don't even need this internet marketer's email follow-up sequence or this pack of bundled tags, right? I don't need it. Because remember, contact throughput is your greatest gift to know what you should be focusing on, right? And how well something's working. I refer to it as it's how you grow up your automations, right? In the beginning, it's in this little baby stage, and then contacts go through it. You start identifying holes and, oh, I forgot about this. Oh, man, let me do that. And then your automation starts to grow up. Because remember also, when you're overcomplicating the automation building process, it's going to have all types of holes. You're going to start having people, why don't they have this tag? Wait a minute, why do they have that tag? Hold up, why did they receive that email? Why are they in this automation? You've overcomplicated it. So that's why you have to start small. It's easier with a small, simple automation to plug that one hole and then start building by necessity. Okay? Because there's a case that could be made that perhaps you just need to optimize what's in place instead of building more. Okay. And this, of course, assumes you're building your automations for easy measurement so that you can see what's happening. You're using goals, tags, custom fields for automation tracking and other tactics to know how people are flowing through. You're not just, well, wait a minute. Let me ask this. You're not just building the automation and relying on the tool to provide all of the tracking that you need to know that it's working, are you? You do realize when you build your automation, you have to put in the tracking, whether it's tags at certain points in the automation, goals, custom fields that you're populating, adding them to other automations because you're building modular. I mean, there's various ways to track your contacts' progress through automations so you know what's working. I hope maybe that's new. So perhaps that was worth your free attendance today of listening. Right. But that's what it is. We're building with measurement in mind because we need to know what's working and how it's working, because that's going to determine if we need to build more, if we can just take our hands off of it. Right. And this applies to all areas. I'm focusing on automation building. But if I talk about the tangential areas, you know, information capturing, I like to create dynamic web forms. Right. But you can easily overcomplicate the branching and outcomes. Right. If they say yes on this one, then show this field. And then if they don't do this, show this field. And you can get super complicated, super quick. You know, and before you know it, you've got this form that you don't even really understand when someone submits it, what does it tell you about the person who submitted the form, right? You're like, you're confused. So I'll keep it simple at first and keep it based, you know, based on the quality of responses and start adding more logic. So if I keep it simple and if the people who are filling out the form just like, that, you know, I didn't capture enough information because I still don't have a good idea of what they want, what they need. Right. So then I'll start adding more logic to it. Same with quizzes. Quizzes are powerful, but they are the easiest part of lead generation to overcomplicate, because you're thinking it's got to be this advanced scoring and all of these advanced outcomes. And man, if they say yes, yes, no, it needs to have one outcome. And then if they say yes, yes, no, it needs to have this outcome. And you built, it's so sophisticated. And honestly, you really only needed three outcomes. What are you doing? And there's ways, there's strategies of taking complex outcomes and grouping them into a simplified, personalized outcome. There's ways to do that. Okay. But I want you to see how easy it is to overcomplicate the entire process, the entire air quotes funnel. Right. So if you're an overcomplicator of automations, you're probably an overcomplicator of everything else. And it's hard. It's exhausting when things are just complicated. It takes mental bandwidth every day on your own stuff. And you're just you get tired of it. You really do. You get tired of it. So remember that simple system scale. Simple system scale. There is a time for complexity, but it's never before you've taken the guiding principles that I've mentioned into play and executed on them. You never start with complexity, especially if you're trying to scale, because simple system scale. You have to get clear on your audience and your offer. Understand what I call indicators of interest. Okay. And these are actions or information that you capture along the customer journey that confirm a strong interest or desire for your product. You have to know those, because those are what's going to help you focus in on what's important. Some stuff just doesn't deserve to be focused on like you've been focusing on it. And if you don't know these, you're going to overbuild and overcomplicate things. Okay. The more seasoned you become, the more simple your approach becomes. And remember this, advanced strategies rely on simple systems. It's their foundation. If you want to execute an advanced strategy, it has to stand on the foundation of a simple system, or it will fall through and it will be less effective or not effective at all. Okay. So in closing, it's all about KISS. You all have heard that acronym, KISS. I've changed it a little bit. And the acronym for KISS for us automation builders is keep it simple to scale. All right. Keep it simple to scale. This is a learned discipline, and it only comes with time, repetition, and exposure. You need to be in a learning environment where you can see what other people are doing, how other people are building, how other people are solving problems, all of these things. When you're a consultant and the only education you're getting is the client that you're working on, just know you're on the slowest path. You are on the slowest path. Okay. So who needed to hear this today? Okay. I know it was you. I am convinced now. I understand you listening. You needed to hear it. I get it. But think beyond you. Who is that marketing consultant that needs to hear that? The CEO that's always overwhelmed and just thinks of the most complicated things. Maybe they need to now understand that it's not as complicated. You just are working with the wrong people. What about that marketing consultant that just keeps loving to build, build? You know, custom solutions for everybody, that's overcomplicating it. Save them. Friends don't let friends overcomplicate automations. They don't. Be a friend. Share this with that person and tell them, listen, I'm concerned about you. And that's why I want you to listen to this. In fact, I'm going to sit down and listen to this with you. We're going to get through this together, friend. right? I say that with some levity, but I'm actually very serious. I really am, because these are mistakes that need to be stopped. They need to. Okay. And if you are somebody that really this jives with you, this resonates at a different level, you're like, yes, simple. Show me how to be simple. Yes, I want to do this. I want to do this for businesses. Put these simple systems in place and then add on some advanced strategies. Yes, that's what I want to do. If that excites you, just know that you're in the right place at the right time, listening to the right podcast. Because here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to finding people like that who desire to deploy these automated systems for small businesses. You want your clients to succeed. We're committed to taking these digital marketer professionals and turning them into automation service providers. Because small businesses are in dire need of these types of marketers and the ability to deploy these systems into their business the right way for rapid growth. So if that is you, if you continually find yourself listening to this podcast like, yes, amen, right? You get it and you desire to do this at a high capacity. I want to invite you to go to automationbridge.com/ASP. That's automationbridge.com/ASP to take the next steps to get on the calendar and talk to myself or somebody on my team to determine if you'd be a good fit for our community and program that we have to produce automation service providers in the industry. I'll let you know daily. It's practically daily. I'm getting contacted by businesses that are in need of these marketers. So the need is great. And I need you all to respond. Come get this learning, this teaching, this tutelage so that you can go out and serve these businesses as a longstanding career in marketing automation. It is possible. It is available right now. Okay. So if you found this episode useful in any capacity, valuable, please, now is the time to leave your 5-star rating and review. Remember, first time listeners, I told you you would get an opportunity. Now is your opportunity. Please leave that 5-star rating and review now. Again, greatly appreciated. Thank you in advance. All the show notes for this podcast and all other podcasts are accessible at automationbridge.com/podcast. And you can subscribe there and listen to all of the other episodes at your leisure. Okay? So until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.